left out. I was indicating colleagues that we're starting in a few minutes to resume with Advocate Mpofu to cross-examine the witness, that it is my hope and intention that perhaps by lunch time would have concluded with the witness, and that after lunch you could introduce the next witness. I will have to manage that as we go through that. I also indicated that the directives have been issued yesterday, and that members and evidence leaders and the team of the public protector must not be surprised when I start invoking them as they are. Thirdly, I went on therefore to indicate that Advocate Dali Mpofu and the public protector had indicated to us quite early that Monday and Tuesday they will be virtual, and that from Wednesday next week up until Tuesday that week, for 5 days, they would not be available. We have accepted that. And for that, it therefore means that we're going to have a pause of 5 days from Wednesday next week until that Wednesday. And I was therefore, when you intervened, Honorable Malema, I was on the point saying one of the days next week we're going to utilize as a committee to just talk about a few things in relation to our work in the hearing. And so leave space. That is therefore my request in all of your busy scheduled for a day next week where we'll have that committee meeting to attend and assist ourselves on a few matters that are going to be important. Thank you. That would have been the longest remark of resuming the meeting. I now am going to recognize Advocate Mpofu to continue with his cross-examination. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just pause. Mr. Johan van Lochrenberg.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm uncertain of the procedures. There were a number of questions put to me yesterday which were left up in the air. I went and reviewed the recordings of my testimony on both day one and two, and would like to bring them back from up in the air if that is permissible. But I don't know. I'll leave it to you and the committee to determine. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, that's fair enough. Advocate Mpofu?
Chair, I'm neutral on the third. Sure. Except for this to say that some of those matters might, an opportunity to bring them from the air, as he puts it, might come now. So he might want to do that after I've finished with him.
Okay. Oh, that's also fair, Mr. Johan, so that you can come back to those later on.
Thank you. That would be fine if that's the case. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Mr. Mpofu.
I will remember that. Thank you, Advocate Mpofu.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Mr. Van Lochrenberg.
Good morning, sir.
Yes. Okay. Look, yeah, it's a pity that we don't have a lot of time because I wanted to just shape this, the rest of this cross-examination in such a way that it's actually going to help us going forward, because the structure that we are following hopefully will assist us with other witnesses. I know you are the guinea pig because you are the first witness, but we'll see how that goes. Can I start by just saying the following for your benefit and for the benefit of the members, Chairperson? Yes. Mr. Van Lochrenberg, I've reduced the issues that I'm going to be raising with you into five topics, Chairperson, and I think that will also be for the benefit of the members. I call them the big five, being a South African.
Okay.
All right. So the first issue, and I think we covered this sufficiently yesterday, is the issue about your being, quote-unquote, ignored and not being traced and so on. You remember that whole issue?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes. And I think you and I have agreed, subject to some qualifications, that if we are able to show through evidence of the public protector or even other witnesses that she, A, was told by investigators on whom she had confidence that they couldn't find you, even if those people can be criticized, but at least she would have had reason to accept their evidence at face value. I know and I say subject to certain qualifications, that's just to save time. So I'm not suggesting that you accept that and in an unqualified manner. Do you understand?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Then, so that's the first issue. And as I say, we can tick because we dealt with it yesterday. Mm-hmm. The second issue, there's just one thing, one question literally that I'll ask you to bring that one from the air, hopefully. Okay. Then the second issue is about the so-called rogue unit. And there are two issues. One is the existence of the unit, which I think is common cause, at least up to 2014. It's common cause. Whether it continued thereafter and so on as the PP believed or it stopped, that's another issue of dispute. But at least as far as its existence is concerned, we are one, me and you, correct?
I hear you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Right. Now, that issue is also almost covered. And let me just pause and say this, Chair. And again, this is for the benefit of the members. It is true that it's not the business of this committee to determine whether there's a rogue unit or no rogue unit and so on. That's for Skakane and KPMG and all those people. Of course, if we go as far as to establish that, then it might be a shortcut. But that's not your main focus. Your main focus is whether the belief by the public protector that is indeed so was outrageous and impeachable. That's really the only issue for you. Yeah. So the third issue then, Mr. Van Lechtenberg, which really goes to the nub, and I know there's some debates about it, but I'm sure it will be clear in due course to those to whom it's not clear, is that the court findings to the effect that the public protector's views on all these matters were outrageous or all sorts of adjectives that are used, mischievous, fallacious, what have you, that those conclusions on the facts that will be placed before this court, this tribunal, are unjustified. Okay, that's probably the biggest job for us. It's not for you, yeah. But we will lead some of that evidence via you to the extent that it is relevant to you. Do you understand that?
I hear you, Chairperson.
Thank you. But do you understand? Yes, I know you're here.
Yes, you are explaining the five, the big five. Up to big three.
Right. That's fine. Now, the fourth issue is that. And that's a broad issue related to the third one, is that the gist of the court findings is that let's go. I'm avoiding to use the term fait accompli, but what I mean is that there was really no investigation. She was just going through the motions with a predetermined outcome. And that is also a theme that comes from both your evidence and some of the judgments. Understand that?
Yeah.
All right. And then out of those, I'm going to pick out one so that I don't have to go through all of those, like Kakane, KPMG, what have you. We've dealt with most of that. So I'm going to demonstrate this fact by you and I discussing the IGI report in relation to your views on it, but also in relation to the comments made by the court. And just to show again that her conduct regarding the IGI report was actually justified and commendable, firstly, but secondly, that she's not a sangoma. In other words, she wouldn't have known, for example, that your review would be granted a year later. But I think I don't think you and I will quibble about that. Understand that one?
I hear you, Chairperson.
Okay.
Now I have all five of the big five.
Thank you. Yes, that's the big five. So I'm going to then go, as I say, the first one is done. The only thing about the first one is I want to ask you to confirm that you, at some stage, deliberately used the wrong surname. It's a name that is misspelled, not necessarily that you called yourself Van der Merwe or something, but you used the surname that, and I'm saying that in the context that it might have contributed to your untraceability, not to cast aspersions on you. You used a surname that was the wrong one, misspelled, correct?
If on my email, yes, Chairperson.
Yes.
My official email. I didn't deliberately do it, but it was just, it's. In fact, if you look at the correspondence between Parliament and my attorneys, my surname is spelled incorrectly again. It's a difficult surname. It's actually Van Locherenberg.
Locherenberg.
Van Locherenberg.
Yeah. Yes, Chairperson. Okay. It doesn't matter. It's been used in multiple formats over my lifetime.
Okay. Yes. Okay. And again, I'm saying, when I say deliberately, don't take me wrong.
Just pause, Advocate.
So sorry, Chair.
Sorry. Mr. Poof, can I just check? Are you putting to Mr. Van Lochenberg that it's because his surname was wrongly spelled that he wasn't able to be found? Is that the version being put?
No. No. Yes. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Proceed then.
Thank you. I'm saying, Mr. Van Lochenberg, again, I'm not fighting with you. I'm saying, when I say deliberately, I'm saying that you were aware that this was happening and you, let's call it, condoned it. Not that, I'm not saying you are the one who went there and doctored
I never had an issue with it because I understood many people have difficulty with the surname, as do I. I didn't select it. All the people who ever spoke with me knew it was me. So it was fine. It was not an issue.
Yeah, but I'm just saying if someone didn't speak to you, if I, for example, wanted to find you and if I Google the wrong surname because I've got the wrong surname, then obviously I'm not going to find you. Obvious. Let's say in some database, correct?
Yeah, no, sure. Certainly.
Thank you. Right. Okay. So that's the end of the number one, Chair. That's all I need for you as far as the one of the big five. All right. Then on the second one, excuse me, again, I don't want to get into a debate with you as to whether the so-called rogue unit still exists on, and so on. That's, we'll converse that with other witnesses. In any event, even if it still existed, you left SARS at 2015. That's common cause.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Chair, that then covers that, because as I said, on that one, it's existence and continuation. Existence is common cause, but at least, again, I don't want to misrepresent the evidence. Existence is common cause up until 2014. Continued existence, we've just covered. Okay, good. Then...
Sorry, Chairperson, if I may add to my answer, please.
Yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
It has always been part of the propaganda that the existence of the investigative unit that had the three names that I identified in my evidence in chief was somehow denied or kept undercover or whatever the case might be throughout the years of its existence. I just want to emphatically say that was never the case, and the evidence put before the court in my four affidavits quite clearly demonstrate that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chair. And for the avoidance of any doubt, I want to put it on record that I agree with you on that proposition. The existence of the unit, people quibble, I call it the so-called rogue unit, you call it the high-risk unit or whatever. That's let's put that aside. But the fact that there was such a unit has not been denied, and actually is undeniable. There are two issues, two aspects, which I want to converse with you. Oh, well, which I would have wanted to converse with you, but I can only converse one of them. The one is this issue of the continued existence, but it would be unfair because let's assume somebody restarted it in 2016 when you were gone. I can't ask you about that. So I think we've both accepted that. But the second issue, which is really where the bone of contention, for lack of a better word, is the rogueness, if you know what I mean, of the unit. That's obviously hotly contested. You would agree?
Yeah, it's hot, it was hotly contested between you and I, Mr. Mutofubi, Chairperson.
Okay. No, I thought you were just talking general. I'm saying it might be hotly contested between you and I, but I'm saying generally that's the issue that has been playing itself out there, outside of you and I. I agree you and I have contested it, but I'm just saying that's the issue, whether it's rogue, quote unquote, meaning it is unlawful or in breach of the Constitution and that kind of thing. You agree that's the contested terrain?
Yes, Chairperson, the first time that that unit was referred to in that manner was on 12 October 2014 in the Sunday Times on a front page article with the headline SARS Bugged Zuma. The article claimed that this unit and members of the unit had broken into the private home of former President Jacob Zuma and planted listening devices in his home and secretly and unlawfully listened in on conversations that transpired in that premises. It also made claims of the unit having been involved in tarnishing the reputations of certain former South African Revenue Service officials. Following that, there's a string, I think about 54 claims, such as that the unit acquired new homes, it had slush funds in excess of 600 and in other cases 800 million rands, It purchased new vehicles. It purchased all sorts of sophisticated spyware, in particular a grabber, and so forth. It also infiltrated politicians as bodyguards. It conducted house penetrations, and so forth. There are a long list, 54 of them, in fact. And it is then in that context that every time that article, those articles appeared over two calendar years, that instead of referring to that unit as its convention within the revenue service, it was referred to in that manner.
Yeah, thank you. Again, I agree with you. All I wanted to establish for the purposes of this committee again, because we have to focus it to the work that we're doing here, is that you would agree with me. I'm putting a proposition to you so that you agree or disagree, that apart from you and I, out there, there are South Africans, I don't know how many, who will agree with you that the unit was above board, nothing wrong with it, and so on and so on. There's another large number of South Africans, again, I don't know how many, who believe that the unit was unlawful and rogue and all the things you've just enumerated. And I'm asking that question to demonstrate that it's not the function of this committee to resolve that public debate. The function of this committee is simply to find out whether the findings of the public protector in that regard were wayward and outlandish and ridiculous or whatever.
I understand your question.
Yes, thank you.
No, it's so. That is unfortunately how a successful propaganda campaign works. The label will remain for long beyond our lifetimes, I'm certain.
100%. And we just want to know that to the extent that the propaganda must have worked on the public protector, whether that's outlandish or not. Okay? All right. Now, that's fine. So, I'm sorry. You and I, on that topic, then I'm just going to ask you a few questions. You accept that, among other things, the public protector, rightly or wrongly, and I'll come back to the rightly or wrongly, I'm just packing it, in coming to her conclusions about the rogueness, quote unquote, or let me use the a more neutral term, the unlawfulness and unconstitutionality of the unit, had, among other things, the following information at her disposal. The Sikakane report, which found that the unit was unlawful. Okay? Do you agree with that? I'm not saying you agree with the Sikakane report. I'm saying, do you agree that's one of the materials that she had at her disposal?
Indeed. The way I understand it is that the public protector accepted the Sikakane report as is.
Yes, good. And the second material on which she relied for that belief was the KPMG report, correct?
correct, Chairperson, but she did not take into account the withdrawal.
Yes, okay. We'll come to that, Mr. In fact, we won't.
In other words,
we won't come to that.
Put it differently, she relied on the original KPMG report.
Yes, in respect of which, and you'll correct me because you're more familiar with this, you issued a media statement vigorously contesting the extent of that withdrawal. In other words, we are saying KPMG did not withdraw some of the evidence, the body of the evidence, but they only withdrew the conclusions, and you were aggrieved by that, correct?
Yes, I was aggrieved that they only withdrew the conclusions, recommendations, and legal opinions.
Thank you very much. So even you understood that that withdrawal was not complete, hence you were aggrieved.
Correct.
Thank you. Now, the only other thing then I want to say about KPMG is that you part of the material that or part of your qualms with the extent of their retraction was the fact that it left some parts of it untouched, and just accept that for now as a general statement, because that's not the nub of my question. The nub of my question is that in those parts that were not withdrawn, and I'm using that term loosely, was, among other things, the list of what they regarded as interception equipment, intelligence type of equipment, quote unquote, which would be evidence of the rogueness. I'm paraphrasing, but that's you, among other things, that was part of your gripe, correct?
No, because they did not ascribe the equipment to the unit in question.
What did they ascribe it to?
They just used the term SARS.
Yes, I hear you. Okay, no, fair enough. And again, so that was part of the gripe, that they listed all this quote-unquote rogue equipment and simply ascribed it to SARS without allocating it to a particular unit. That was one of your gripes, correct?
Yes, it was certainly.
Thank you. Okay, no, that's good enough for our purposes. Right. Then okay, so that was the second thing. So that's the Kakanya, KPMG. And then the third thing that was at the disposal of the public protector was the Kruon report, correct?
Kruon no, panel. There was no Kruon report.
Okay, yeah, okay. Let's call it Kruon panel
press release.
Document.
The press release.
Whatever, yes.
Press That's release. The title at the top of the document.
Absolutely, I'm with you. Today we're agreeing on everything. Yeah. I'll take yours. Kruon press release, number 3, correct?
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you. And then the fourth material that was relied on was the Inspector General of Intelligence report, correct?
No, Chairperson, incorrect.
No, well, I don't understand.
Well, the report says that Lassen Kwebane did not have the report.
Which report? The
Inspector General of Intelligence report.
No. Sorry, that was a confusing question. So what you are saying is the PP's report says that the PP did not have the IGI report. So, the word
correct.
Report.
Correct.
Was previous. That's what you are trying. Okay. All right. But you accept that she must have relied on it because she, even in the PP's report, refers to its recommendations that you must be criminally charged.
I don't accept that because I don't want to place myself in the shoes of Ms. Mkwebane. I think Ms. Mkwebane can explain that herself.
Fair enough.
All I know is that the report emphatically states she did not have the report. She had certain aspects thereof on good authority. How she verified whether those aspects on good authority were indeed what was contained in the report or not, I cannot say. I have my views, given the fact that we now know that she was in fact in possession of the report, but the report states otherwise.
Okay. Thank you. Looks like then, if Chair, again, I'm doing this to try and speed things up. So I'm just going to sit on this just for a short while, Mr. Van der Rokkenberg, because I want to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak. Good. 113. Okay. Whoever is operating the IT system, can you go to paragraph 113? Of the judgment. The one we're talking about, 48521. The rogue unit judgment.
Okay, just a pause there so that we get it flighted.
While we are at it, while they're finding the thing, I just want to confirm. So you're saying you're basing this theory on the fact that in the report, Advocate Mkwebane, as you put it, emphatically stated that she did not have the report.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. All right. Okay, well, again, to save time, Chair, I'll just ask the next question while they're looking for the thing.
Please go ahead.
Yes. And the issue I'm going to demonstrate when I say kill two birds with one stone is that you are so wrong with what you've just said, and so is the judgment. So that's what I mean by kill two birds with one stone. So wrong. Like, so wrong. So what you've just said is Advocate Mkwebane says in the report emphatically, as you say, that she did not have the IGI report. Where in the report does she say that?
We'd have to find that for you, Chair, if you can allow me a few minutes.
I'll assist you.
All right.
If you have the report in front of you, you'll find the IGI. Section. Sorry, I thought I had marked it. All right, I'll find it for you now, Mr. Pinlottenberg.
Advocate Mpofu, can I assist? What are you looking for?
Yes.
The report.
The part in the report, the section that is with the IGI report.
Could be around paragraphs 5225 on page 4264.
Yes, yes, you're quite right. 5225. Actually, it starts at 5. I know it's confusing because it's under the heading Sikakane report, but I'll also explain why that is so. Let's deal with that very quickly. Do you accept that in the report, it is clear that the IGI report is a product of the Sikakane report? In other words, one of the findings or recommendations of Advocate Kakane was that the matter must be referred to the Inspector General.
No, sir. No, don't accept that.
You don't accept that. All right. All right. No. I'll assist you. Don't worry. Relax. So if you go to the report at my land friend is almost correct. It starts at 5/2/16 under the heading Sikakane report. And it answers also one of the questions that Honorable Gondwe raised about who commissioned what. The first 5/2/16 says the Sikakane report was commissioned by the former SARS commissioner, Mr. Ivan Pillay, to conduct an investigation into allegations of impropriety against Mr. Johan van Lochenberg, SARS Group Executive Projects, Evidence Management and Technical Support, Mr. van Lochenberg. The report outlined, amongst other things, issues pertaining to the intelligence unit. So you see how that starts. You confirm that part. Or rather, you can't dispute that part, that it was commissioned by Mr. Pillay to look into your conduct.
Yes, it was not the the unit, my conduct in relation to allegations made by Ms. Belinda Walter. It was very specific.
Mr. van Lochenberg, do you confirm that paragraph?
I confirm it up to where my surname ends with closed brackets.
All right, that's fine. You can confirm it to wherever you want. Yeah. All right. Now, here's the part that you seem to be contesting. Go to the paragraph that my learned friend was referring us to, 5.2.25. And it says, the report recommended, in other words, the Sikakane report recommended that the activities and functions of the SPU be investigated by the Inspector General of Intelligence. Are you contesting that plain fact?
No, I did recommend that.
Good, thank you. All right. And that's what I was trying to say. You seem to be contesting that. I was saying the IGR report is therefore the product of the Sikakane report because it was recommended thereby.
I'm contesting precisely that point. In order for you to understand the genesis of the Inspector General of Intelligence report, which is in terms of Section 7 of the Intelligence Oversight Act. It was commissioned by the then Minister of State Security in August 2014 in terms of Section 7B of that Act with a very specific mandate, scope, and purpose.
Okay, Mr. van Lochenberg. I'll grant you that. I don't care whether it might have been a coincidence. Listen to me, please. You don't answer before I finish my question. I'm saying the fact that Advocate Sikakane recommended that this matter goes to the IGI and the fact that they may also have been doing it, I don't care if it's a coincidence or not. All I was saying to you is to establish the facts. The fact which you and I have agreed on is that Advocate Sikakane recommended that the issue of the unit be referred to the IGI. Yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
By the South African Revenue Service.
Whatever. Yeah.
It's important. Okay. The recommendation by Advocate Sikakane was that the South African Revenue Service should refer the matter to the Inspector General of Intelligence.
Fine.
Thank you. Just a pause.
Sorry, Chairperson.
Advocate Bauer.
I'm hoping to shortchange us by just reading out what the recommendation was from the Sikakane Commission so that we don't go around in circles as to precisely what it was. That would assist everybody.
Sorry, I didn't hear that.
I'm hoping to clear this up quickly by just reading out what the recommendation was from the Sikakane Commission.
Yes. No, I'm talking about the report. This the PP's report.
No, but you're going around in circles, it seems.
No, I don't appreciate that. I'm not going around in circles. I'm reading. The report recommended that the activities and functions of the SPU be investigated to the Inspector General of Intelligence. What circle is that? It's here.
Well, that's in the PP report.
Yes, but that's what I'm dealing with.
But the debate you're having with Mr. von Lochenberg is whether that recommendation was actually made by the Sikakani Commission.
No, I just said I don't care about that. I don't know why you're telling me. I've just said I do not care whether it was a coincidence or whether it was there or not. I'm reading words here. Okay. And you're telling me that I'm going in circles. The report of the public protector says the report. And when it says the report, it means the Sikakane report. You understand that, Mr. van Lochenberg?
Should I?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes. So let's read it together in straight lines, not in circles. The Sikakane report recommended that the activities and functions of the SPU be investigated by the Inspector General of Intelligence. That is what is in the public protector's report. Yes or no?
It is correct, Chairperson.
Thank you. Right. Now, then it then says, in a meeting held between the Inspector General of Intelligence, Dr. Sitluma Maru Dintwe, on 31 January 2019, let's pause there. That is the meeting, apparently, that was played here on Monday for a long time, chit-chatting with Miss Govinda and this one and that one. Do you agree?
Yeah, just to be sure, we're on 5/2/26.
25, sorry, Mr. Panlachman.
Okay.
We're still on 25.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Okay, good. Now, it says this. He confirmed, Mr. Dintwe, that's the Inspector General of South Africa, confirmed that the office of the IGI had indeed previously investigated allegations of an intelligence unit within SARS and confirmed the existence thereof. You see that?
Yes, Chair.
Yes. In other words, in the meeting that was played here, Dintwe, among other things, confirmed that there was an investigation and which confirmed the existence of the rogue unit, so-called. Okay.
If you simplify to that, yes, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Right. Now, then the 26 is the one that then gives it a bit of context. It says, apparently the then Inspector General, that would be the late Advocate Faith Khadebe, conducted an investigation on the intelligence unit within SARS and issued a report on 31 October 2014. You have no quibble with that?
No, Chairperson, it is correct.
Yes, it's in straight lines. Okay. And then, which I was reliably informed that it was in the custody of the former minister of State Security, Ms. Dipuo Letsatsi Duba, from whom I tried to get a declassified copy of the report without success. You have no quibble with that as well?
Yes, that's what it says.
Yes. Do you know, as a matter of fact, just to clean this up, Chair, that so much did the public protector make those attempts to get the declassified report that at some stage she even laid criminal charges against the minister?
Yeah, I read about it in the newspaper. Yes, Chairperson.
Yes. In fact, it was what one might call a skirmish. I think the minister also laid criminal charges against the public protector in that process. Are you also aware of that?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Right.
Chairperson, just if I might ask to go back to 5.2.24.
24. Yes, let's do that.
Sorry, no. It's the one where reference to Advocate Sikakane.
Yes.
that paragraph that you just read out first before you took me.
That was 25. Yeah. I didn't go to 24. That was 25, but we can go wherever you want.
Just the one where there's reference to Mr. Sikakane recommending that the matter be referred to the inspector.
Sorry, Mr. Van Rochberg. It's 5.2.25. I'm just saying it loud for the person who's operating. 25. Right? Yes, we are back there, Mr. Van Rochberg.
No, sorry, Chairperson. There's a paragraph that was read out before 5.2.25.
Oh, I see.
To the Sikakane recommendation.
That's 16, probably. The only other one that I read was 5.2.16, the one that said
correct. The Sikakane that's the one.
By former SARS Commissioner, Mr. Ivan Pillay, and so on.
Yes. So, Chairperson, I did not agree with the contention that brought us to what's being laid out before the committee now. that the Inspector General report was an outflow of the Sikakane report for the simple reason that the Sikakane report is dated 5 November 2014, which is not evident in this paragraph. Whereas if you go to paragraph 5.2.25 and 26, you will see that, in fact, by that time, the Inspector General of Intelligence report had already been concluded.
Good. That's exactly, I don't know which part of this is not clear. I do not care whether it was a coincidence or whatever.
Okay, then it's fine, yeah. Chairperson, because that is what I was asked.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
I've said it to you, I've said it to...
Proceed, Aggregate and Bob.
Anyway, all right, let's move on. Okay, the
just sorry, Chip. I don't want to interrupt there, but I think this point is rather important. I hear what Isaac Mpofu is saying, and he's reading from the public protector's report, but then the public protector is wrong as well. For the simple fact that the dates indicate that the other report was completed before the other one, so the deduction that the one was built on the other is factually wrong, and the committee needs to understand that and take that into consideration.
Yeah, but the public protector is wrong with what? When did the public protector say what you're saying?
Sorry,
Chair. Go ahead.
You are reading from the public protector's report, 5.2.5 or 5.1.6. In that report, the claim is made that the report from the intelligence general was based on the other report. It seems that the facts indicate differently, and I think that's important for the committee to take cognizance. So if you say you're not interested in that, I understand that. But I'm interested, and I think the committee is as well.
Okay. Well, I hope this committee is only interested in the facts, not some fiction. Because all I have said...
Advocate Mpofu, I would want you to tone down on
all right.
That.
Okay.
Please.
Actually, I don't appreciate being interrupted in my cross-examination, but let me take your advice, Chair. Dr. Honorable Mulder, I have never, and I will never, say that the public protector said that the one report was as an outcome of the other one, because she simply has never said that. That's what I'm saying. All she says is, and I'm reading this for the umpteenth time, the Sikakane report recommended that the activities and functions of the SPU be investigated by the Inspector General of Intelligence, full stop. That's all she said. I've never said what you are attributing to the public protector.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you. Let's go.
Honorable Bonde, I'll come back.
All right.
Honorable Bonde, just pause, Advocate Mpofu.
Sorry.
Yes. Honorable Chairperson, and good morning to everybody. I'm also a bit concerned with paragraph 5.2.25, I think.
Yes.
Advocate Bao was about to just point out what, you know, the actual recommendation in that report, the Sikakane report, actually was. And I think it's important. We just want to hear her, if possible, because she didn't quite get a chance to indicate. Because what we had on the screen was the interpretation of the public protector around what the report recommended. And she was trying to put it on record what actually was the recommendation in the report. So I would really appreciate it. I beg your indulgence on this, Chair.
So you're requesting that we have that read to us?
Yeah, the recommendation. The point that she wanted to make, for her to make that point, because I think it's okay. Very important that we get, you know, that also on record.
As far as Advocate Mbofu.
I have no problem.
I don't think that that is a train smash. Can we do that?
I don't have it to put it on the screen because our operator doesn't have it, but we'll make it available. There's a series of recommendations in the report, but I think the one that relates to this is 190.4, which is on 217 of the record. It says, in respect of the unlawful establishment of the Special Products Unit /NRG/HRIU, the following is recommended. Sub 1. As we understand that the Inspector General of Intelligence is already investigating Ms. Walter's complaint, the activities and functions of this unit must be specifically investigated by the Inspector General. Alternatively, we are of the view that the Commissioner should recommend to the President that the Judicial Commission of Inquiry with powers of compulsion in terms of Section 3 of the Commissions Act 8 of 1947 should be appointed. Such commission, if considered, and then it goes on to what that commission should do, which is not relevant to the debate. And then it goes on in sub 3, which is SARS should ensure that proper structures of cooperation between SARS and government agencies statutorily tasked with intelligence gathering and crime investigation are established in order to assist SARS with capacity. I was trying to point out earlier that I think Mr. Van Lochenberg and Advocate Mpofu were talking across each other on different sections of the Sekakane report.
No. Thank you. Can I carry on now with my cross-examination? Thank you. So from what has been read, it looks like the situation is even better than what I was describing. What Ms. Bauer has now read to the committee is that Advocate Kakane was even aware that the IGI was conducting a report and made recommendations that whatever was read. Would you agree with that?
It appears to be the case, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. So thank you. So it's even better. All right. Thank you, Honorable Gond. So the let's go back to where we were.
I should just add that, Chairperson, that it appears that Mr. Sekakane was unaware at the time when he published his recommendation that the Inspector General of Intelligence had already concluded the investigation.
Correct. Because of what you pointed out, the November, October thing. That's correct. Yeah, I agree with you there. All right. Now, the point, though, which is the business of us, of this committee, is that, we've already said we agree that he was reliably informed, she being the public protector, was reliably informed that it was in the custody of the former minister, and then they were fighting it out. The next one. He says, in an attempt, the public protector says, in an attempt to determine the veracity of the allegations of the existence and activities of the intelligence unit, I sought more information from the Inspector General of Intelligence, that's Dr. Dinktwe. This information was attributed to a report by the former IGI, Advocate Khadebe, dated 2014. The OIGI report. You and I, we've gone through this now. You confirm that?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Then he stated that the report can be requested from the Minister of State Security as the lawful custodian thereof, right?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay, then the rest I'm just going to paraphrase. It's the thing about the fight, the criminal charges and so on. We've already covered that. Now, if you go to, let's pause here. This, what we've now discussed including the discussions between Dr. Dintwe and what is in the report, in whose custodianship it is, and so on. All that was, we now know, sitting here, discussed in the recording that was played here, correct?
That's all that's contained in the Rule 53 record, Chair.
Exactly. That's my next issue. And that recording that was played here comes from the Rule 53 record, as you correctly say, which was supplied by the public protector, correct?
Yes, Chairperson. And it related to a date, 31 January
2019. Yeah, whatever. No, the gist of my question is that Rule 53 record was supplied by the public protector. The thing that was played here, we wouldn't know about it if the public protector had not discovered it.
Well, that and the fact that on the 31st of January 2019, the public protector was in fact in possession of the report.
Yes, fine. I don't even know
what... It was not in the Rule 53 record.
It was in her Rule 53 record with whatever you're saying. Okay, good.
It was not, Chair.
Yeah. Pardon?
The Inspector General of Intelligence report was not produced in the Rule 53 record.
I'm not talking about the report, Mr. Van Lokrenberg. I'm saying the recording that was played here on Wednesday.
Yes, I've agreed, Chairperson.
Came from the Rule 53 record that was discovered or supplied by the public protector, Advocate
Mukhoba. Thank you. Let's proceed.
Thank you. All right. So she has a discussion about all these things. And then she, of her own volition, discovers it in the Rule 53 report. But let me just close up the following point, which might be important for another reason. If you go to 5.2.32, just to show the extents and lengths to which she went to try and get this report legalized, so to speak. She says at 5.2.32, and hopefully we'll get evidence on this when these witnesses are called. I have since requested President Ramaphosa's assistance in facilitating the availing of the declassified report by the Minister of State Security to no avail. You have no reason to dispute that she's lying about that?
No, in fact, it's reflected in the Rule 53 record.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. And then she says, this is the punchline which seems to confuse everyone, and which I will show you just now that the court was completely wrong and you about. Then she says, In light of the above mentioned, in other words, of all these things that you and I have now conversed, and in terms of the powers vested in me by Section 181, 2 and 3 of the Constitution, I have it on good authority that the findings of the OIGI report inter alia were that. Okay. And then A, SARS created a covert unit utilizing covert and intrusive methods, which was not in line with the SARS mandate and in violation of Section 2091 of the Constitution, which only empowers the president to establish any intelligence service. In other words, it established the rogueness, what I've called for shorthand, the rogueness of the unit. You agree with that? Not that you agree with the conclusion, but you agree that that's what she says is contained in the IGI report, correct?
Correct, Chair. It's actually a direct quote from the report.
Absolutely. Then she says the establishment of an intelligence capacity within SARS, a capability exclusive only to legislated intelligence services, was illegal. Again, same point, rogueness, correct?
No, I only accept that what you're reading to me, Chairperson, is that it's a direct quote from that reviewed and set aside Inspector General of Intelligence report.
Yes, Mr. Van Lochenberg, please, let's try not to waste time. I've said what you're saying, that you don't, I'm not saying you're accepting the content. I'm saying you accept, okay, let me put it this way. Do you accept that if these two things are true, that would be a demonstration of rogueness? In other words, if SARS, in violation of Section 2091 of the Constitution, which only empowers the president to establish intelligence services and the establishment of intelligence capacity, a capability exclusive only to legislated intelligence services, which is illegal. If that is the case, that's an indication of rogueness.
Yes, Chairperson, if SARS did that, if yeah. it did that, hypothetically speaking, one way of describing it, I imagine, could be using the term rogue.
Yes, no, and I'm not doing it to be facetious. I'm using it as shorthand, simply, as I said, maybe I'll use lawfulness rather unlawfulness, yeah. But you know what I mean. You agree with what I'm saying?
Yes, if it's your preference to then use another term, so be it.
Yes, because I just want to move on, Mr. Van Lochenberg. I don't want to quibble about stuff that is not going to assist this court.
Just a pause, Advocate Mbofa.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Maneli.
No, I just want, for purposes of clarity on my side, so that I know which report we're dealing with. The first point raised about the Sekakane report was more of a reference to the Inspector General of Intelligence. On this point, 5.2.34, is this a direct reference to the actual intelligence Inspector General's report, or it's still referred to as in the Skakan? I think for me, the important part is whether this then becomes an admission that you are using a report, whether acquired in one way or the other, or it's still referenced to Skakan, just to be sure that we're talking to the same point when we want to come back and ask questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Maneli. I've got them both.
Thank you, Chair. No, I get the point. Honorable Member, let me just, if we go back to 5.2.33, you see that she says, I have it on good authority that the findings of the OIG report inter alia were that. After that, colon, up to the word activities at the end of 5.2.34. That's from the IGI report.
Chairperson.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. So
understood.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Just hold, Advocate Mbovo.
My apology.
Honorable Malda.
On the same 5.2.3.2, please. You can just have that there.
Which one?
2.3.2. Yes. And 5.2.3.3. The point I'm trying to have clarity on is, Advocate Mbofu started off by asking Mr. Van Lochenberg this morning, where in the report does the public protector deny that she had a copy or have the hold of the report of the Inspector General of Intelligence? That's what I heard, if I'm not mistaken.
If I may intervene, can I deal with the witness, please? I'm begging you. Otherwise, this is really going to derail my cross-examination. I can't be asking the same questions and then attempts to answer the witness.
Let's allow him to complete, sir. Right. Honorable Melda.
Thank you.
I just want to make the point. This is not a jury. This is a committee that wants to understand the process. And if I want to ask and understand, then I would really want to be answered. But Mr. Mpofu doesn't want to be disturbed. So complete your, from my perspective, I'll ask you the question afterwards. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. The directives were adopted yesterday. And the directives say that the evidence leaders must lead the evidence. We must cross-examine. Thereafter, the members must raise their questions. There's a reason why they direct the, it's exactly to avoid this kind of thing where my cross-examination is being interrupted. I don't mind, I must say it openly, for clarity seeking questions. For example, the one that Mr. Honorable Maneli, I know this is not a court of law, but what I don't want is to go into the merits of answers that I'm extracting from a witness, and because that's a completely different business, which is wrong. Thank you. Now, Mr. Van Lochenberg.
Yes, Chairperson.
Thanks. So, anyway, when I was clarifying the issue to Honorable Member Maneli, I think that covered my next question, so I'm not going to ask you. Now, I'm saying, okay, after the word activities at 5.2.3.4, then it says the KPMG report, right?
I'm not seeing it on the screen, Chairperson.
Okay, take it from me.
Yes, okay, I see that.
Yeah. Okay, then, in other words, they're now dealing with something else completely. Now, it comes to the question which, as I say, has now been preempted, which I really don't appreciate. The question is, in the section that you and I have dealt with, we've now agreed that the discussion of the IJI report is for the reasons that we have explained, covered under the heading the Skakane report. And this is now the end of that discussion. Now, I'm saying, where in this, what you and I have gone through, is this part where you say the public protector emphatically states that she did not have the IJI report? Where is that? I'm very sorry to do this, Mr. Van Rockenberg. Let me put the question even in broader terms, and it will be clear just now why I'm. No, in fact, let me do this with your permission, Chair. In that spirit of killing two birds with one stone, go to paragraph 113 of the. Rogue unit judgment, so-called rogue unit judgment. Oh, it's bundle A, page 4016. Got it. 113, please. Thank you. Okay. Can I just carry on, Chair? It will, it's a small thing. I'm sure when it comes up, it will come up.
Okay.
If I'm misreading, I'll be found out. Yeah. Okay. 113 says, this is what the judgment says. It says what you are saying wrongly, Mr. Van Lochemer. So the public protector relies on this report despite explicitly stating that she has not seen the report. Do you see that part?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yeah. And it says she relies on it because she has it on good authority that it was found in the report that. That part, the second sentence is correct. We've just established that. Okay. And then go to 1-1. I'm sorry, do you actually have a hard copy or any version of this? Okay, thank you. I think we're there. Okay, I've just read the first sentence and the second one. We can move on to 115. Can you see it, Mr. Van Lochemer?
Yes, Chairperson.
Right. Then again, the judgment makes the same point at 115. It says, despite the fact that, and I'm saying this at the back of your mind, you must understand this is all leading to a devastating finding that the public protector is dishonest. So, but park that thought. Yeah. It says, despite the fact that the public protector, according to the report, underline according to the report, has never seen nor verified the contents on findings of the OGI report, she ordered the minister to implement it within 90 days. The emphasis is on the first part. Despite the fact that the public protector, according to the report, not according to anything else, has never seen, in other words, they agree with you that she emphatically said she has not seen it. Then 116, Chairperson. They say, it is difficult to understand on what basis these sections of the Constitution can notionally grant the public protector the power to rely on a report that she herself has not seen, because this is what she says in the report. So again, they agree with you. All right? The report, assuming, is the report of the public protector.
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes. And then it goes on and on. The thing about counsel, and we don't have to deal with it now. Maybe I'll deal with it with Mr. Pillay, because he was a litigant. But go to 120. Sorry, 119 first. The public protector now considered that despite explicit statement in the report that she has not had sight of the OIGI report, in preparing, she has in fact had the OIG report and in her possession when she drafted the report. Public protector now claims she subsequently received the report from an anonymous source who left it at her office. Firstly, that last one is just, she had said, we heard in the conversation that that had happened even before she went to see Dr. Dinto. But that's not an important point I want to make for now. It's just factually wrong. But at 120, that's the punchline, which is before this committee. This turn of events is disturbing, to say at least, and it is difficult to label the public protector's conduct in that regard as anything less than dishonest. In other words, the issue that is brought here before this committee to impeach the public protector is not the build-up, so to speak. It's the fact that she's dishonest. And that dishonesty owes to the fact that, according to you, Mr. Van Lochemberg, and this judgment, she explicitly, emphatically, whatever word you want to use, stated that she had not seen the OGI report. Now, here's the question. Where can you assist this committee to tell us where in the report she has explicitly, emphatically, whatever you want to call it, stated that she had not seen the report?
If you can go back to the report, please, Chairperson.
Which one? The public protector's report?
Yes, Chairperson.
Yes, which paragraph?
If my memory serves correct, somewhere around 15.2.23.
15 point?
Repeat that.
15.2.23. Somewhere around there. If I can just see that page.
Okay. We'll get there.
2. Okay, it's on bundle A, page 4217. Are you finding it? Sorry, Mr. Van Lochenberg, can you just repeat the paragraph you're referring to?
I think 15.2.23.
Okay, I stand corrected, but I don't think the report goes that far. But let's just...
It's around there where she indicated she turned to the president for assistance.
Okay. No. You mean five, yeah. Paragraph five.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's why I was totally confused. Yeah. So, okay. Sorry. No, it's fine. It's a mistake. So you are taking us to 5 point. Yeah. 5.2. The reference to the president is, you'll find at 5.2.23. Sorry. Blah, 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 blah. 32, yes. Thank you. Okay, 5.2. Are you still with us, Mr. Van Lochenberg?
Yes, Chairperson. Can the person please just scroll up a little bit?
Please scroll up for Mr. Van Lochenberg.
The sentence starts with, in an attempt to verify the veracity, or something similar to that.
Okay. That's
there we go. 5.2.27.
Yep. So just a minute. 29. So, okay, no, you can carry on. Sorry, I've just lost my...
Go ahead.
Just go ahead. I'll still find it.
Okay. So in July of 2019, Ms. Mkwebane states in an official report under her office, position as the public protector, she states at 5.2.27, uh-huh. In an attempt to determine the veracity of the allegations of the existence and activities of the intelligence unit, uh-huh. I sought more information from the Inspector General of Intelligence, Dr. Setomaru Dintwe.
Correct.
This information was attributed to a report by the former Inspector General of Intelligence, Advocate Faith Khadebe.
Uh-huh.
That then means emphatically that at that point in time, Ms. Mkwebane doubted the veracity of the allegations, and she sought out to determine the veracity of that.
Can just try and repeat that? I don't know what you're talking about. You're saying...
Well, in an attempt to determine the veracity, you don't need to determine veracity of something which you believe, veracity is when there's doubt.
Ah, I see. So So you are reading that to say she wanted to determine the veracity of the IHRI report?
No, you're not allowing me to conclude.
No, take your time, Mr. Van
Lochner. Okay, hold back, Advocate Mbofu. Please go ahead, Mr. Van Lochner.
All right, so in July 2019, this process is described by Ms. Mukwebane, that there was an attempt to determine the veracity of the allegations of the existence and activities of the intelligence unit. That attempt was then to seek more information from the Inspector General of Intelligence. This information, which she sought to determine the veracity, was attributed to a report by the former Inspector General of Intelligence, Advocate Faith Khadebe. He stated that the report can be requested from the Minister of State Security. Now, if Ms. Mukwebane had the report, everything that follows, subpoenaing the Minister of State Security, laying the criminal charges, writing a letter to the new Minister of State Security, opening a criminal case against the Minister of State Security, writing to the President and everybody else, is an emphatic denial that she was not in possession of that report. If she was, it would simply have said, I have the report, here's the report, this is what it says.
Right. Are you done now?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. So what you've just said now is all that you rely on for your statement and the statements contained in the judgment, that she explicitly and emphatically stated that she had not seen the report. Am I right?
So well, it continues. She then ascribes her knowledge and insight of the report to some kind of good authority.
Yes. Okay. Now, everything
is... having said that, then my answer is yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So we know now it's those two... issues that justify you and the judgment saying that she explicitly and emphatically stated that she had not seen the report. Thank you very much. That's
Ms. Mukwebane is prepared to state that she did have the report all along. And then that begs the question why it wasn't produced to the affected parties and why it wasn't produced in the Rule 53 record, and why the matter was opposed in the interlocutory, and whatever was stated on oath before court there.
Right. Well, we can get right there, Mr. Van Lochner. But I just want
to... It's not for me to speak for Ms. Mukwebane or for the committee.
No.
We do have a spokesperson.
Yes.
Mr. Mukwebane, as you correct there. Thank you.
Yes.
Continue advocating both.
Thank you, Chairperson. And for now, I'm her spokesperson. No, Mr. Van Lochenberg. No, if we gave you that impression, we apologize. We just want you to speak for yourself. You are the one who she emphatically said she had not seen the report. So you are your own spokesperson.
I've answered that question, Jim.
Yes. No, but so that other stuff was unnecessary. Just stick to answering the questions. So we've now established that the statement, which is attributed to Ms. Mukwebane, which has led for us to be sitting here because she is now dishonest, as far as you are concerned, is based on these two things. Paragraph 5.2.27 and 26. That's the good...
I don't think it's necessary to repeat, Jay. I've answered the question and it will reflect in the record. I've said a few things.
Okay, I'm doing it for the record, Mr. Van Lochenberg. You don't have to be rude. Just work with me here.
I apologize, Jay. I want to apologize. I want to take time.
I repeat it for a particular reason, if you don't mind.
Fine.
Thank you. Right. Now, I'm saying to you then that let's go to 5.2.27, the one that you say justifies your conclusion. Can you see there that it says, in an attempt to determine the veracity of the allegations of the existence and activities and of the intelligence unit. It doesn't say to the veracity of the report.
Can you see that, Jefferson, correct?
Agree on that, yes, yeah. So in where in the world are you then finding that when she wants to determine the veracity of the existence of the unit, that has anything to do with whether or not she has seen the report emphatically?
Because the next sentence reads, this information was attributed to a report by the former Inspector General of Intelligence.
Yes.
Which is the report in conversation. The next question then is a response. Dr. Dintwe stated that report can be requested from the Minister of State Security. We've listened to the conversation. We've listened to how there were debates between the Inspector General of Intelligence and Ms. Mukwebane on how exactly she could access it on the 31st of January, 2019.
Thank you, Mr. Van Rachenbach. Yes, that is so. But when we listen to that, and if it has to be played again, it will be played again. When we listen to that conversation, it was clear there, and I'm paraphrasing here, please don't quote me verbatim. You agree or you don't agree. It was clear, I'm just putting to you as a proposition, I'm just saying you can agree, disagree, or say I don't know. The proposition I'm putting to you is that it was clear from that conversation that the participants in that conversation were aware that, one, the report, the public protector, I think, said somebody had dropped it at the door or at the gate. I'm not sure which one. That's Ms. Kwavane is the public protector. Yeah. So yeah. Dr. Dintwe, I think, or again, I stand corrected, or Ms. Govender said that in any event, it's in the public domain. Some words to that effect. And I think Advocate Govender made some other comments. And I don't know if this was... Yes, and I think, sorry, I was just verifying. There was even mention, but don't worry about this because we'll have to play the thing if we have to, even when you're not here. There was also mentioned by either the PP, I think it was the PP, that the report was actually in Newsweek, in a publication called Newsweek as well. Do you agree with that? Or don't you know, yes or no?
I don't know, Chairperson.
Good. Okay.
Advocate Mpofu, we'll pause there.
Thanks.
And take a tea break and be back at 10:02.
Thanks,
Chair. Thank you. So, it's a tea break, Mr. Johan van
Lochem. Recording stopped.
We'll be back at 10:50.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Chairperson.
Thank you. Welcome back. We proceed. Advocate Mbofu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Chair, I'm mindful. I really am mindful of your time, but I have to do what I have to do. So what I'm doing my best to curtail. So I'm going to do this. Mr. Van Lochenberg, welcome.
Yes,
right. So we could do this to-ing and fro-ing.
Recording in progress.
I was saying we could do this to-ing and fro-ing for some time. I don't want us to do that. So I'm just going to put a proposition to you, and which might cut the to-ing and fro-ing. If it doesn't, then we'll come back to it. I'm putting it to you that there is nowhere in the public protector's report where she, according to you, emphatically, and according to the court, explicitly states that she had not seen the report. And that is also not borne out by the context of the recording and what is in the report. Do you agree?
No, we are going to disagree on that, Chairperson.
Okay. Now, thank you. Sorry, I thought I was taking a chance that we'll have a shortcut. Okay, now let's go back to the question then. Where in the report, Mr. Van Lochenberg, does it say that the public protector emphatically and explicitly says that she has not seen the report?
I've answered the question already, Chairperson.
So, okay, well, that answer you gave means nowhere, because you went to the thing of veracity. I've explained to you that the veracity was about the intelligence unit, not about the report. You accept that?
Chairperson, I answered the question. It wasn't just about the veracity. It started with the sentence veracity, and it ends later on in the report. Where the public protector seeks assistance from the president. It's that entire section.
Okay. In other words, what you're saying is that, let me start it like this. You accept that what the public protector was saying ad nauseam in that meeting was that she wanted a declassified report.
Yes, I accept that. I also accept that she said that possession of the report in any other fashion would be a criminal offense, and she considered it a serious matter.
Yes, yes. In other words, the possession of the declassified report, or rather, I'm sorry, of the classified report.
There was only one report at that point in time, and that was the classified report.
Yes, Mr. Van Lochenberg. Yes, Mr. Van Lochenberg. I'm saying that there was only one report, the classified report. That's why I'm confirming with you.
And I confirm, Chair.
Yeah, what was not in existence is the declassified report, which is what you are seeking from you, from Dr. Dintwe, from the minister, and from the president. The declassified report.
Correct, sir.
Thank you. Yes.
If I can draw your attention to paragraph 252 of the judgment.
252.
252.
Okay. Let's go there. Right. I'm there, Mr. Van Lochenberg.
It reads, but the demand made on the Minister of State Security to implement in totality the OIGI report dated 31 October 2014.
Uh-huh.
And this is in the July 2019 Public Protector Report. That's one of the remedial actions.
Yes.
Firstly, the possession or use of a classified report would clearly constitute criminal conduct on the part of Advocate Mbebane.
Correct.
Who, as a former state security agency operative, remains bound by national security and intelligence legislation.
Uh-huh.
As stated above, a redacted version of the OIG report was declassified, but has subsequently been reviewed by the court. That declassification occurred post July 2019.
Thank you very much. Yes. And that's exactly the point. So I'm saying to you, it is exactly for that reason that a public protector, a reasonable public protector, a conscientious public protector who has been placed into this possession of this document by a whistleblower, a real whistleblower, is at pains and taking all the steps to regularize and legalize the position. The meeting we listened to here, sorry, Chairperson. Sorry, Mr. Van Lochenberg. I just want Chairperson, I can feel that he...
No, sure, have a look. Look at it.
So now I even want to kill three birds with one stone.
Yes, but it's in Dagala.
Sorry, Chairperson. okay. I'm looking for. I was going to. I'll refer the chair later. To when I say these efforts, you'll see in the section that I'm looking for where there's a list of this letter to this one, a letter to this one, a letter to the minister, a letter to the DG, letter to and so on. I'm saying all those efforts and the meetings that you listen to here were an attempt by the public protector, who's conscious of her responsibilities, to regularize the position. I'm sure you wouldn't quibble with that. Otherwise, she was just having these meetings for fun.
I don't know, Chairperson. Is the proposition that that the public protector was indeed in possession of unlawful and illegal possession of that report? Is that the submission? Must I respond to that?
No, it's not your place to ask me questions. Are you wanting clarity?
He wants clarity. Please.
Clarity, please, Jeff. Sorry. Okay. I apologize,
Mr. Mbeki. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Van Lochenberg. No, let me simplify the proposition. The proposition is simply this, that all these efforts, and I've included the meetings, the public protector went to have a meeting with the inspector general, that's common cause, trying to get this declassified report. So she went to lay criminal charges against the minister. She approached the president. She wrote various letters. I'm saying all those efforts were in aid of regularizing the situation around the report.
I understand, Chairperson. I understand the question.
No, what
you're saying that you're in possession of something illegal and you want to make it legal.
Yes. Then the alternative is that all these meetings and letters and approaches to the president were just for fun.
Yes, so that makes my point that of the evidence I led in chief, Chair.
I see. So that's your evidence. Okay, thank you. No, that's very clear. Now, so my next question is redundant, and don't shout at me for putting it. It's for the record here. Therefore, the sum total of your evidence is that all the issues that I've pointed to were intended, rather had no purpose at all. They were just play meetings and letters and approaches to the president and laying criminal charges against the minister.
I don't know, Chair. I think the committee must decide that once we hear the version of Ms. Mkwebane.
I've told you the version of Ms. Mkwebane. I've just told you that all...
Then let us leave it to the committee to adjudicate or to consider.
Yes,
but I don't want to express a view on something I don't know.
Okay. No, that's fair enough, Mr. Van Lochtenberg. But the committee, it depends on you and I, it depends on the witnesses to assist it. But we can't force you, if you don't want to concede the, or rather, well, you are doing worse than that. If you are denying that the purposes of those meetings were to achieve the obvious. But let me just say this.
I think that, Chairperson, I think the letters and the attempts speak for themselves.
Thank you.
There were efforts to obtain a declassified copy of the document.
Thank you.
I think that's common cause, actually. The point I've always tried to make is the following point, and it's a very simple, narrow point. If the public protector was in possession of the report, unlawfully and illegally so, she did not save us at any stage. She then uses it to impose remedial actions without providing it to those implicated parties. She also does not provide it to the court. That's the point.
How she got
it is of less importance for me. I know she did get it because she says so in the 31st of January 2019 recording. She also says possession of it is a criminal offense.
Yes, she also said it in the meeting that we listened to. You remember?
That's the same meeting I'm referring to.
Yeah. Pardon?
That's the meeting you referred to.
I'm sorry. Yes. No, I'm talking the meeting with Dr. Tinto. Yes. And she...
So she had it. It's as simple as that. She had it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now she wanted to use it and make it legitimate so that she could rely on it in her findings and remedial actions and the report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Alpano. I couldn't have put it better myself. That's the...
But she issued the report prior to achieving that goal.
Okay, you're done. I just want to make sure because I don't want the disturbance between the two of you. You're done now, Mr. Van Lochtenberg?
Yes, Chairperson.
Okay. You. Yes. No, thank you. I'm very happy. That's what you're saying. It's kind of, would you agree? And again, I don't want to use legalese, that what you are doing now is to give us what is called is inferential reasoning. You are saying if she did this and that and that and therefore we must deduct this, that you want us to infer something, correct?
I'm explaining the basis and the rationale of one element of my complaint.
No. We're not about your complaint here so far. We're about your conclusion that she emphatically said she had not seen it. And
yes, correct, Chair. Yes.
Thank you.
You can infer.
Are you finished, Mr. Van Lochtenberg?
Yes, Chair.
Yes. So what the proposition I'm putting to you is that your support for reaching that conclusion is based on the inferential reasoning that you have just explained to the committee, correct?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. It's not based on anything that is explicitly or emphatically said. It's based on inferential reasoning, correct?
Yes, in the full conspectus of what I have testified about.
Thank you very much, Mr. Van Lochtenberg. We can move on. Okay, as long as we're clear on that. The The next point that is made in the paragraph that just you took us to is what I call the Sangoma point. So,
sorry, Chairperson, Mr. Mpofu began what, where we are now with what the with number two of the big five.
Yeah.
And he listed, we dealt with the Sikakane report, the KPMG report, the Kruen press release. And then he wanted me to confirm that the public protector also relied on the Inspector General of Intelligence report.
Yes. Yes, no, that's where exactly you're 100% right, Mr. Well, that's where we are. What other point did you want to make?
No, in other words, at the time that she then relied on this report, she was in illegal possession of the report. That's
yes.
My point.
Yes, she was.
Thank you.
Technically speaking, she was, yeah, in the sense that that's exactly why I've been at pains. Maybe it means then, I've been trying to tell you that she was trying by all these methods to regularize, or let's say legalize that position.
I understand, sir. I understand.
Yes. No. So we're clear now. Are we clear with each other?
I think so, Chair.
Thank
I
you.
Hope so.
All right. Yeah, I hope so too. So we can go to the Sangoma point. Now, I'm saying to you, as far as the... Okay. I'm sure I don't have to say to you that she cannot be impeached for not being a Sangoma. But as far as the second sentence that you raised in the, in you took us to paragraph 252. This is what it says. As stated above, a redacted version of the OIGI report was declassified, but has subsequently been reviewed by the court and set aside.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You'd agree that that statement is completely unrelated to the report. It cannot be logically to the, sorry, there are so many reports we've spoken about, to the public protector's report.
I don't know, Chairperson. I don't know. All I know is that had Ms. Mkhwebane engaged with me, had she put that report to me, one of the first things I would have done is taken it on review. I didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, but if is not going to help us. Let's talk facts, Mr. Van Lathome. I'm saying...
It's a fact.
Sorry, are you laughing at me?
No, not at all, Chair. You said it's a fact.
He says it's a fact.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe I said something funny. No, what I'm saying is the you would agree that this part about the declassification and review happened in 2020. Yes?
I'm sorry, Chair, I just lost some audio there.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Van Lathome. I'm saying you would agree, I'm sure, having been the applicant, that the review of that report happened in 2020.
I commenced in 2019 and the conclusion was in early 2020, correct? Yes, Chair.
No, it was on the 8th of June, 2020. That's when you obtained your order.
Yeah, correct. But I initiated...
I'm not talking about initiation. I'm talking about the review. It was reviewed and set aside on the 8th of June, 2020. Surely you understand that.
Yes, I understand that.
And you accept it as correct.
It is correct, sir.
Thank you. Now, I'm saying unless Advocate Mkhwebane was a Sangoma, she wouldn't have known in July 2019 at the time of issuing the report that a year later, it was going to be reviewed and set aside. I'm sure we agree at least on that.
I'm sure, Chair.
Pardon?
Yes, Chair, I'm sure.
Thank you. So that's what I mean when I'm saying she cannot be impeached for not being a Sangoma. Then all of us must be impeached. Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Next. Then so that's the IJI report and the false. That's the Audi thing. Yeah. Okay. Then the public protector. And thank you again, Mr. Van Lochenberg, because you reminded us of where we were on the list. It's just that this one is very important. It actually helps with number 3 and even number 4 of the big 5. So again, we've made some good progress.
So but, you achieved 2 points there.
But
you achieved 2 points there.
3.
Oh, okay.
Chair. We were 3. I think we're on 4 beds now.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So so with this Kakana report, KPMG crew and we're on the IGI. Then of course, the public protector had also relied on an interview she had with Mr. Van Rensburg, one of the members of the rogue unit, correct?
No, Chairperson.
She did not have a recording of Mr. Van Rensburg interview. Interview, I meant it in recorded form. Sorry, I didn't mean to mislead you. You accept that she relied on the interview with Mr. Van Rensburg?
She relied on a partial recording of Mr. Janse Van Rensburg and some unknown person.
Yes. Thank you. And Mr. Janse Van Rensburg was your co-accused in the criminal trial, correct?
That's correct, Chairperson.
Thank you. And both you and him were charged for the activities of the alleged rogue unit, correct?
No, Chairperson.
You were charged for other crimes? Alleged?
Yes, Chairperson. I was charged for supposedly somehow allowing the National Prosecuting Authority to pay one of their service providers an amount of approximately 100,000 rand improperly.
Right. And did that not include the issue of the installation of cameras at the NPA?
It was money paid to the service provider by the NPA.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That you are charged for things related to the illegal interception of or spying on the NPA.
No, Chair, I've just explained to you. I was charged for improperly allowing or inducing the NPA to pay a service provider an amount of approximately 100,000 rand.
For what? For the spying equipment?
For their installations of their equipment.
Yes. Thank you.
But nothing to do with the unit.
No, don't worry, Mr. Van Lochenberg. I'm not interested in those minor details. It's insufficient for me to say that you are charged for activities related to the installation of spying activities at the NPA and equipment related thereto. That's fine. Okay, you happy with that?
I've answered you, Chairperson.
That's fine. You don't have to answer it again. All right. And then the public protector, where are we now? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the seventh set of information that he relied on was, again, a recording of Mr. Lombard and Duval, who were also former members of the rogue unit, correct?
She relied on a partial recording of a conversation between Mr. Moyane, Mr. Makwakwa, Mr. Helgard Lombard, who was a member of the Special Projects Unit period February 2007 to April 2008 only, and Mr. Duval, who is a member of the unit in its different conventions until it was shut down in October
2014. Good. And among other things that they said was the confirmation or the information about spying on the NPA allegedly in relation to the Silebi matter to give information to President Mbeki, the thing that we dealt with yesterday, allegedly.
I think I've answered you on that, Chair. It's a very confusing conversation.
But something like that.
Yes, it seems to me that the DSO actually bugged themselves, each other.
They bugged themselves. Okay, thank you. Yeah. All right. Okay. Then the next piece of information she relied on were the documents submitted to the public protector in 2014, long before Ms. Mkhwebane even got there, in relation to the complaint of Mr. Manyike, another member of the rogue unit, correct?
No, that's incorrect, Chairperson.
Which part?
Mr. Bezoski Manyike was never a member of the Special Projects Unit, the National Research Group, or the High Risk Investigation Unit in any manner or form.
Okay.
Contrary to what the report states.
Okay. But he was aware of its activities, and he even made a televised, I saw it. It's the gentleman was a Rastafarian who made a televised account of the activities of the rogue unit and was insulted by the Sunday Times as just for his religion. Is that the man?
I don't describe him like that, Chair, and I disapprove of a description like that. I used to get along very well with him. If you say so, all I can recall in the report is that Ms. Mkhwebane relied on him in what she described as a former unit member, which is factually incorrect. And I dealt with all of these claims on oath, which forms part of the court record, and that was settled before court. In terms of the interview on television, I've also seen parts of it.
Yes.
I actually asked for a right of reply, and we were going to have a one-on-one session live on television, but he withdrew at last minute. Because he said the matter was sub judice.
Yes. Well, at least he observes the sub judice rule. Yeah. So, okay. Fair enough. And just for your information, I've just been corrected and taken instructions. The position is that, and if you know, you know. If you don't know, you'll just say you don't know. Is that the Mr. Manyike was actually representing members of the rogue unit. He was basically speaking as a union person. But we don't have to, if you don't know, we don't have to be bogged down with that. We'll have evidence around that.
Well, the report doesn't say so. The report says that his evidence was accepted as a member of the unit.
Yes. I don't want to go to that, Mr. Van der Vanberg. Otherwise, we're going to have to. I can tell you that road will end us at the place where we have inferential reasoning that is oblique and indecipherable, and cooperative gook. Okay.
As long as it's clear to the committee, Mr. Bezoski Manyike was never a member of that unit, and he knows nothing of it, you know.
Yes. No. Fine. That's what I'm saying. I don't want to quibble with those issues.
You just a pause at the Honourable Sukas.
Good morning, everybody. Chair, I just want to point out Mr. Mpofu's now call twice the rogue unit. And I think the witness has said that he is not comfortable with when he started.
That's fine. Would have established that he chooses to call it rogue unit.
Yeah.
And this shouldn't be a problem. Mr. Van Lochrenberg has indicated here that it was a high investigating unit. So let's just deal with that in that way.
Thank you. Yes, I thought we sorted that out on day one when me and Mr. Van Lochrenberg, not with you. Yeah, we sorted it out between me and Mr. Van Lochrenberg that I will continue to call it that. He calls it the higher risk unit or whatever. I even said at that point, for the purposes of
the unit.
Yeah. And then I'll be thinking rogue unit and he'll be thinking.
Because you have rogue, you'll always think of rogue.
Yes.
Continue.
And I've been saying it so many times that I'm not saying it to be facetious. Or it doesn't mean I'm going to turn around now at the end and say, Mr. Van Lochrenberg called the rogue. Oh, by the way, when we're on that, when was the, does the rogue unit still exist, Mr. Van Lochrenberg?
I don't know of any rogue unit, Chair.
Is that your answer?
Which unit are you referring to,
Now, you know, Mr. Van Lochrenberg, the problem with the witness who just grabs anything is this. You were asked this question. This very question I've just asked you, does the rogue unit still exist? In an interview with Mr. Aldrin Sampier. You remember that?
No, I don't remember that, Chair.
You remember doing such an interview on Power FM?
Yes, I do, Chair. It was some years ago.
Okay, I'll remind you. You were asked this question, and we have sent a copy of the interview to our learned friends. We're not leading it now, Chair. But if the witness denies, then we will. It doesn't need him, so we can have that debate some other time.
Can I maybe?
Okay.
Just to place it on the record, it was emailed to the secretary this morning at about 8:30. I've listened to it at all.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Thank you very much. I'm saying, and again, Mr. Van Lochrenberg, I'm saying it's just for the sake of progress. If I'm misrepresenting you or whatever, I will be discovered and impeached. So you were asked this very question, does the rogue unit still exist? And this was your answer. No, it was shut down by Tom Moyande in 2014. You remember that?
I don't, but if you say so, I'll accept that, Jim.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. For that time, there was no one to say, you must not be asked a question using when was the rogue unit, whether it still exists, and you answered the question.
Yes, Chairperson, that was a radio interview.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I'm sorry, Mr.
There's a little bit of a difference for me personally in respect of that interaction and this particular platform for the Office of the Public Protector.
No, fair enough. No. In fairness, Mr. Van Lochrenberg, you're not the one who objected. I think you and I understand the context in which I'm using that word, but I was just showing that how this thing of trying to hide behind semantics is not going to help anybody, because you yourself in this context accepted that it is called the rogue unit. By answering that question to Mr. Sampier, it doesn't mean that you, Mr. Van Lochrenberg, are now adopting what you call the rogue unit narrative. Nobody in their right mind would think that you are now no longer denying the quote-unquote rogueness of the unit, or at least not me. I was just illustrating that point. And believe me, I'm not making that point, that simply because you answered this, now suddenly it means you are saying it's the rogue unit. That would be ridiculous.
I promise never to refer to advocates as rogue advocates.
Yes. Well, are you trying to be coy and funny, Mr. Lochenberg, so that we can laugh at the right time? Pardon?
No, Chair.
Okay. If I may, Chairperson.
Thanks.
Honorable Mylam.
Chairperson, once again, I need to object to the tone and manner in which Advocate Mpofu is addressing the witness. We agreed in the directives that witnesses would be treated with dignity and respect. And that is not the case in the way that Advocate Mpofu is addressing the witnesses. In fact, I find his behavior, and I said this yesterday, towards this committee and towards the witnesses to be aggressive, to be disrespectful, to be interrupting, to be arrogant and dismissive. And I'd like to put it on record that Advocate Mpofu needs to start learning how to interact with Parliament. This is not a court of law. There's no grandstanding here. We are here to find the facts. We are here to determine whether or not there's any truth to this. And that's what we are working towards. Now, Advocate Mpofu, please, I'm going to beg of you, please just let's try and stick to the facts. Let's stick to the point and deal with it appropriately. The way that to accuse a witness of being coy or misleading or whatever it was that you said you used facetious earlier, that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. If we want to ask the question or if we want to take it further, we will. But please give this committee and the witnesses before it the respect that they deserve.
Thank you.
It's the very least we can expect.
Thank you, Mr. Mylam. You have made your point quite clear.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Can I?
Is there somebody in the virtual?
Yes.
Yes. It's me, Chair.
Okay, go ahead.
I think this committee has got a chairperson, and that if Advocate Mpofu or any of us are not consistent with the directives, it is well within the chair to bring us back into order. It is going to be very abusive for people to abruptly just stand up here and tell us their feelings. It's not like we're all feeling the same, but we subject everybody in the process here into the capable hands of the chair. So please do not allow that, Chair. That people must just, when they feel hot, stand, raise hands here to tell us they're feeling hot. It's not going to happen like that. As long as you have not said to the Advocate Mpofu you are out of line or anything of that sort, Advocate Mpofu is in line and should be protected by you, the chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malema.
Thank you.
Before I acknowledge you, Advocate Mpofu, I want to repeat again what I said earlier, that I request that you tone down. You don't have to... because we can't change who you are in terms of how you ask your questions.
Yes, you can't.
But I did indicate that I will invoke the directives when I get to that point.
Yes. Yes, Chair, I think...
Please continue, the witness.
Okay. No. I have to respond. You've just made remarks to me and someone has just insulted me and of grandstanding. So I've got to, please, if you don't mind, Chair, just respond to that.
I would not want us to stay at that point, but you can make your brief point.
Yes,
but I don't want
you,
us to be sidetracked.
Thank you, Chair.
In this
Chair, Advocate Mkhwebane and me are entitled to respect as well. If that is not so, then at least me, I will stop participating in this committee, because I'm assuming that as much as respect is expected for me, it must be given. I'm a citizen of this country. The fact that you are a member of parliament doesn't make you, actually, you're my servant. I'm a citizen. All right. So I'm not going to be here to kiss the feet of anybody. I'm here to respect people and then they can respect me back. Then we're fine. But I'm not going to be insulted and be called grandstanding and all those things and keep quiet. I will never do that. Never.
Thank
for
you.
Any, I'd rather die.
Thank you. Okay. All right. I think you've covered the point.
All right.
Because so, I certainly would you. Not share any kissing of feet.
Yeah. No, it's
this.
Not going to happen.
Please proceed.
Thank you,
white
sir.
Privilege sucks, Chair. White privilege.
Just pause, Honorable Advocate Mpofu.
Thank you.
Honorable Maute, I'm going to ask you that you don't do what you're doing again. Members here get to be recognized to speak. If they raise a point of order, I recognize them. I am not going to allow you to continue doing the things the way you're doing. Please refrain from that.
Thank you, Chair.
Advocate Mpofu.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. Mr. Van Lochem, and also Chair, let's be even-handed. The reason why I was asking Mr. Van Rottenberg that question is because he was being sarcastic. And nobody here, not the honorable member, not the chairperson, is intervening. So I have to intervene for myself to protect myself. All right? And I'm going to do that until the last day of this hearing. Because nobody here talks about the fact that Mr. Van Lochenberg has referred to a rogue advocate. Who is the rogue advocate? Who is the rogue advocate? And I must respect that.
Okay. Thank you, Advocate. Both.
Anyway, all right. Mr. Van Lochenberg, can we go back to the business?
Yes, Chairperson, can I just apologize to Mr. Mpofu if he mistook. I certainly did not mean to insult him.
No, I accept that, Mr. Van Rottenberg. Thank you. Let's just get back to the business of the day. So, but thanks for assisting me just to put certain things in perspective. Okay. Now, I was then saying that those eight things, one, Sikhakhane, two, KPMG, three, Kruen, four, IGI, five, Van Rensburg, six, the PP report itself and her investigation, seven, De Waal and Lombard, and eight, Manike, were the sum total of the material that the public protector took into account. I think we're clear on that. Subject to, obviously, you've said this one must be qualified this way or whatever. But those were the materials, correct?
I think more or less, yes, substantially, Sir yeah. Chairperson, which brings me to one of the points that when we opened this morning, I asked the Chair whether I could raise certain things. There's one item that would fit into this conversation, if I may just raise that particular one, Chair.
Yes, your points in the air.
Yes.
Yes, it concerns then, it fits in with what Mr. Mpofu has just asked me.
Okay.
What Mr. Kwebane relied upon in concluding report 36 of 2019-20.
Okay, I will allow you to do that. He seems to want to complete something.
Yes.
And then you bring that.
Thank you.
Respond.
Thank you. Sorry, Mr. Van Lochenberg. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm just for progress.
Sure.
You may raise that point and even your other points, just in case I need to deal with them so that I don't have to come back to you. I think it will be better that way. Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. So yesterday, in questions posed to me, and there was a... there was a bit of a haggle between Mr. Mpofu and I in respect of what he referred to as primary targets of the investigation. And I preferred the term implicated persons, and I think ultimately we agreed to use the word prominent persons. I've reread the report, and on my rereading, last night, the following people are targets, prominent or otherwise, the preferred term for me would be implicated persons of the report. Mr. Gordon, Praveen Gordon, Mr. Ivan Pillay, Mr. Opa Mahashula, 26 civil servants that were over the years of its existence, members of that unit, Mr. Janse van Rensburg as the manager of that unit in year one of its existence, the manager of the unit for the 9 months in 2012 when I did not oversee it, me as the manager for the bulk of the period of its existence, and in respect of the remedial action, another person, Mr. Pete Richard, which totals 33 targets or implicated persons or whatever terminology one would prefer. Of these 33 persons whose rights were affected by the report 36 of 2920, only the first three were served with Section 7(9) notices or heard by Ms. Mkwebane. None of the others were. What would make the one more prominent than the other one, in my view, would likely be their public profile or their seniority in terms of their current or erstwhile ranking as civil servants, in my own view. And this issue speaks directly to my complaint, because the issue for me is not the merits contained in Report 36, by and large, about which I'm currently being questioned. Because they've been dealt with before courts and other platforms. The issue is also not my conduct. The issue is not anybody else's conduct before this committee. The issue speaks to the absolute heart of my complaint, and that deals with the aspect of that I say that Ms. Mkwebane failed to conduct the investigation without prejudice. It is the conduct of Ms. Mkwebane that is being considered by this committee, as I understand it. That was the one point, Chairperson. If I understood Mr. Mpofu correctly, he suggested I should deal with all the points now. Chair?
Yeah, go ahead. Proceed, yes. You got him correct.
Okay. The second item that hung in the air was this issue about without fear or favor or prejudice. I went and found the quotes. On day one of my testimony, which was day two of this committee's hearings, on the recording at 2 hours and 5 minutes, somewhere from around there, I say the following. I say an investigation was conducted, and in terms of the Public Protector Act, the person who occupies that office, who happens to be Ms. Mkwebane currently, did not have a choice. She had to contact me and afford me sight of what the claims were, and she had to conduct an investigation without fear or favor or prejudice. She failed to do all of those things, and that is my complaint. It's really that simple. I wasn't heard once again in all of the saga. I was simply disregarded as if I didn't exist and was completely irrelevant. Then yesterday, which was my second day before this committee and the third day of the hearings, at the recording at about 19 minutes, I am very specific in my response to the question posed, where I deal specifically with that the essence of my complaint is restricted to the prejudice element of the fear, favor, or prejudice. I restricted my complaint, therefore, to prejudice so that the committee is clear on that. where I did refer to without fear, favor, or prejudice yesterday at my second appearance, I specifically quoted from a court judgment and from my affidavit in a general sense. And then I specifically made the point that in my case and in my experience, Ms. Mkhwebane did not act without prejudice. And that is then the essence of my complaint again, which I reiterated. So that is the second point, Chair. On this issue of the use of the term rogue as opposed to so-called rogue, I don't want to rehash the debate that's just been had between the members of the committee Mr. Mpofu as the evidence leader. I simply want to speak to what is directly related to my complaint, and that is that Ms. Mkhwebane, in her capacity as the public protector, who was still busy conducting the investigation, used the term rogue. She also used the term so-called, as Mr. Mpofu pointed out, but she used the term rogue on multiple occasions, and I gave two examples of repeated references which occurred prior to the conclusion of Report 56 of 2019-20. I did not mislead this committee as suggested by Mr. Mpofu. Those two instances that I referred to, and there are actually more, but the two I referred to in evidence was the YouTube video and the Inspector General of Intelligence interview. And that speaks also directly to the essence of my complaint, which is that the process was concluded not without prejudice. Three ancillary issues which were also left hanging in the air, Chairperson. One is the question of, I was asked why I approached this committee as a whistleblower. Section 1 in the Protected Disclosures Amendment Act included the words in Section 1 under the definition of employee. It now includes the words or worked. So it's a person who works or worked, past tense. In other words, a former employee. And I accept the shortcomings of the Act. I say so in my paragraph 3 in my submission to this committee. But I still seek to assert my status as a whistleblower. And my paragraph 3 expresses that clearly. I was asked about my so-called psychological condition. By Mr. Mpofu. I'm not ashamed of it. I've never hidden it from anybody. It's not something I walk around on my sleeve. I'm fully compos mentis. It's something that's very treatable. The World Health Organization has found that 1 in 8 people, statistically, have been diagnosed with one or other similar affliction in the world, which statistically means on this panel today, I'm not the only person potentially suffering from such a condition. And I sought help and I received treatment many years ago in my 20s. The reference to it, though, in my view, emanates from what I described in my chief evidence as the propaganda campaign, because one of the initial personal attacks before the notion of this unit was conjured up was that I was supposedly mad, mentally ill, psychopath, etc., which is all nonsense. The medicine, in inverted commas, which one committee member, for some reason or another, thought was whiskey, is in fact a combination of alcohol-free antiseptic, some supplements, aspirin and water, and probiotics, because I'm on antibiotics. Because I had a bicycle fall in a contest I participated in, and undergoing major reconstructive surgery on my jaw and teeth, which will take many, many months. And that explains why I'm mumbling and sometimes appear to be in pain or discomfort. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Advocate Mpof.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes. Thank you, Mr. Van Lachenba. When it comes to firstly, just to correct you, you just promoted me to evidence leader. Now, I'm not the evidence leader. I'm just a lowly rogue advocate, according to you. So
I'm sorry, Chair.
Don't go back to that rogue, please.
Yeah, no, it's fine. Okay, then the next question about the 5 minute, which ended up being 33 minutes, the 5 minutes YouTube transcript, that rather extract that was played here, is I've just done a quick transcript of it. This is where the high watermark of your accusations is that Ms. Nkobane used the word rogue unit, not qualified by so-called, in the way that we've just had that small debate earlier, the way that you used it at Power FM. But I just want to be sure that that whole exercise, its intention was about this. She says in the clip that was played here, our investigation of Minister of Public Enterprises, there were allegations that harassing him and issued a subpoena or yes to him requesting information about several investigations which were conducting. And she says the first one is the pension payout of Mr. Pillay. Let's jump that. And then she says at the part that I think is the one that you want this committee to use to impeach her. She says, I don't go around and ask people to complain. Therefore, when I receive complaints, I will also have to approach the persons who complained against the request, their side of the story. And we all know that the EFF complaint was dealing with the rogue unit in the process which have been followed. Their recruitment, the procurement of equipment, their operations. Another complaint was relating to complaint under the Executive Members Ethics Act, which they were alleging that Minister Godan lied in Parliament about his meetings with the Guptas. Is that the offending part?
Yes, Chairperson. I think the quote is in the letter.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. In other words, the fact that she was referring to the EFF complaint about a rogue unit means that she must be impeached?
No, Chairperson, I think yesterday I clarified. I'm not in any position to demand anything from this committee. Okay. So I've never called for impeachment.
No, fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you said she's not fit and proper. Is that one of the reasons why she's not fit and proper?
Within the conspectus of my complaint, yes, Chairperson, it adds up.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Also, the reference to the people have died and will likely die or something to that effect.
Yes. She said, yes, the part that is your other proof that she's not fit and proper. Yeah. So in that part, she said, I'm also still I know one will be faced with lots of questions. In fact, there will be a lot of questions. There will be allegations that I'm also persecuting Minister Gordhan. But I'm doing my work. And I understand that when it comes to the issue of the rogue unit, people have lost lives and have been tainted. And I think that is still going to happen, but I'm going to do my work. She's not fit and proper because of that as well, correct?
So my complaint speaks to not acting without prejudice.
Thank you. So,
thank you.
Just answer the question, please. So because she says people have lost lives and people have been tainted, are you not one of the people who have been tainted by these allegations?
Absolutely.
But she's not fit and proper for pointing that out.
Chair, I've just answered. It's not a simple reduction as being put to me. In my evidence, I'm trying to portray to this committee that if a public protector approaches a complaint and an investigation with an open mind. Now, in this case, the EFF said, here's a unit that's rogue and did all sorts of horrible things, and that's why it's rogue. Please investigate. Then you don't perpetuate that label because that suggests you don't have an open mind. You're not. That's my point. Now, you may agree with me, you may disagree with me. That
okay.
is the point I'm making.
No, good. No, I understand the point. Yeah. For the record, I disagree with you. But the
Thank
point
you,
now was the other reason why Ms. Nkobane or Advocate Nkobane is not fit and proper is because she said people have been tainted, including you.
No, I believe she's not fit and proper because of the elements of dishonesty and the fact that she did not conduct the investigation in the manner that she ought to have.
Yes, but one of the, I was trying to say to you here, we had a tussle, let me call it that. I was telling you, please go to paragraph 3. No, I want to go to paragraph 1. Go to paragraph 3. No, I want to go to paragraph 1 because of this. Because she said people will be tainted. That's what I'm saying. For that conclusion, among other things, it is the fact that she said people are tainted, including you.
Yes, it's part of the sentence, and it should not be read in isolation, but in the context of the entire sentence.
Good. I'll read the whole sentence, and then you must tell me which part. It says, I know one will be faced with a lot of questions. In fact, there will be a lot of questions. There will be allegations that I'm also persecuting Minister Gordhan, but I'm doing my work. And I understand that when it comes to the issue of rogue unit, people have lost lives and people have been tainted. And I think that it is still going to happen, but I'm doing my work and I will be serving that notice today, which is the 2nd of June, 2019. In fact, it's the 3rd of June, 2019, and I'm ready to receive all the backlash, but I'm doing the work. I'm not targeting or harassing any minister or specifically Minister Gordhan. That's the full sentence. Which part of that suggests that she's not fit and proper?
I've answered the question, Chair. There's nothing more I can say.
No, Mr. Van Rockenberg. You said I'm reading half of the sentence. I've now read you the full sentence. How can you have nothing to say?
It's contained in my annex to JVL3, in my affidavit before this committee, the specific sentence. The sentence is, when it comes to the rogue unit people, people have died or people have been killed. People have been tainted. That can only mean one thing. I don't know what it means to you, Chairperson, but to me it means there's a rogue unit, they've killed people, they've tainted people, and they're going to likely kill more people and taint more people. That is biased. That is prejudice.
Thank you, Mr. Van Lauffenberg. I think you've responded to the question. Advocate Mpofu, maybe before you proceed, just pause, Honorable Mulder.
Thank you, Chairperson. It seems that the exact wording that was used in that interview is going to be rather relevant. Could I ask that the committee also receives a copy of the printout of the exact wording in that? Doesn't have to happen at this moment, but could we please be furnished with that?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Chair. Yes, no, that's easy. We've already done a transcript. All that we will do, we'll send it to our colleagues. Once it's agreed, then it will be circulated. Thank you. You said in your interview with on Power FM that the people had died or lost lives. Sorry, I can't remember the exact wording. What were you referring to?
I don't know, Chair. If you can give me a transcript or allow me to listen to the interview again. I remember meeting Mr. Saint-Pierre. I remember doing the interview, but I don't recall specifics.
Okay. No, that's fine.
If you have it with you, Chairperson, Mr. Mpofu, if you can read the question to me and my answer, it may assist.
Sorry, no. That one is quite long. That's the one I said to the chair. I promise. Otherwise, we were going to have another 1 hour listening. Yeah, we will.
What I can say is what I have said on occasion, Chairperson, is that the trauma caused as a result of these events have almost caused people to die. I've had to attend to families where people attempted to commit suicide.
Yes. But when the public protector says the same thing, that people have died for whatever reason, trauma or whatever, that means she's not fit and proper.
I read that sentence completely different, Chairperson.
All right. So, and then you said in your affidavit in support of Mr. Pillay, at paragraph 6.5 thereof, that this unit was utilized in investigations where the real or present and anticipated threat to the lives, safety and well-being of other investigators in the units listed. The to SARS as an institution records evidence and investigation, and in instances where other investigators declined or requested to participate in aspects of certain high-risk investigations for fear of their lives and those of their families. Is that still your evidence?
Yes, Chair.
All right. Thank you. Just as an aside, you and also I think the judgment alludes to this, and you started with this in the morning, I think on day one or probably when I started the cross-examination. Sorry, I stand corrected. And if I'm misrepresenting you, you'll explain. But you did say that some of the information about the rogueness of the unit came from disgruntled and disgraced employees. Words to that effect. I'm not quoting you verbatim, but do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you. Now, by that, I suppose it stands to reason you are suggesting that information from such people, and I think we said one of them was involved in rhino poaching, that information from such people must be taken with a pinch of salt, correct?
No.
Pardon?
No, Chair.
You were just telling us for the love of the country.
I think one must, when somebody in the position is those two, two of those people, there are more, but two of the two primary ones, who also happen to be state security agency operatives, or were at some point in time. One must always look at the motive.
Uh-huh.
It does not automatically dismiss the value of the evidence, but one must look at the motive. Uh-huh. And then one must look at the veracity of the evidence provided.
Agreed. On that, Mr. Van Lochenberg, I can hire you to be part of my team, especially when disgruntled employees are going to be called here later on. But the point I'm making is that point is also made in the judgment. at paragraph 183, where it says that criticizing the public protector, blah, 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 without paying any regard whatsoever to what Mr. Pillay said in his second affidavit dated 18 October, June 2020, namely that the author of Operation Snowman was Mr. Pierre, alleged to be a disgraced and disgruntled former SARS employee. You remember that in the judgment?
Yes, sir.
And you've already answered my next question, that such evidence must be taken with a pinch of salt in the sense that the motive might be not so holy, correct?
In this case, it's a little bit more nuanced, Chair. Firstly, Mr. Picha has owned he's claimed ownership of the document, and in fact, he provided the document to certain people way back in 2009 and in early 2010 and onwards. What preceded that, the drafting of that document, was what I referred to as what they called Project Broken Arrow, of which some people who were asked to participate in crafting that document way back in 2009 reported this to the Revenue Service, and they reported dates of meetings and what the intentions were and so forth. In a nutshell, it was described as there are going to be efforts to discredit and cause havoc and target Mr. Gordon and Mr. Pillay and the unit and myself in particular. And so it was kind of, let me call it, there was like an orchestrated plot in order to create this dossier, which was then intended to be given to the then president, in the hope of achieving certain nefarious outcomes. So we know this because these are this was the evidence put before court, and we know what the motive was of Mr. Picha at the time. In fact, he himself has explained that on occasion. So all I'm suggesting, Chair, is that one must have account of, when somebody makes a claim, one must take into account the motive of the person, which should not automatically exclude the veracity or validity of the evidence, but one must have it in mind, and then one must deal with that evidence with the necessary circumspect.
Thank you, Mr. Van Lochrenberg.
Thank you.
We're going to pause there for the next 45 minutes and take lunch. Okay. Be back at 1:45.
Thank you, Charlie. Yes. I'm going to move to another topic, so that's fine.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.
We'll meet you at 1:45, Mr. Van Lochenberg.
Thank you, Chair.
I'm just going to leave it on the Thank you.